Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to the world-famous Goal Achievers radio program, where we interview, learn, and become inspired and entertained and gain incredible and valuable insights from some of the most notable thought leaders and goal achievers in the world. As you know, my name is Phil Taylor, author of Set Yourself on Fire, How to Ignite Your Passions and Live the Life You Love, and your grateful host here on the Goal Achievers radio program. At Goal Achievers International, we have a seven-step process that we utilized in order to set and achieve our goals. And step number five has to do with identifying the specialized knowledge that one needs in order to reach your goal. And in essence, that's exactly what we aim to do on the Goal Achievers radio show as we consult, interview, and tap into the minds and vast experience of various thought leaders and experts in their given field. Well, today we are extremely excited about having an exceptional man and leader on our show by the name of Adil Dalal. Adil Dalal is the CEO of Pinnacle Process Solutions International. Mr. Dalal is a keynote speaker, author, and an international recognized expert and thought leader in pinnacle performance technology, project leadership, dynamic risk leadership, and lean advanced flow technology. He is well known for pioneering several key advances in project leadership and in lean, including power of visualization, lean project leadership, iLean technology, dynamic risk leadership, and lean for kids. Mr. Dalal's mission is to focus on enhancing the value of appreciating assets and optimizing the human potential in addition to developing the necessary technical skills for ensuring the long-term success of individuals and corporations. He is the author of the 12 Pillars of Project Excellence and upcoming books, Lean Handbook and Lean Project Leadership. Mr. Dalal has leveraged his expertise in project leadership and in advanced flow technology to increase the performance of organizations around the world. His mastery has made Mr. Dalal a sought-after strategic business partner and executive coach as he continues to drive excellence by implementing strategies for growth and long-term success. Mr. Dalal holds several degrees, an MS in engineering management, an MS in mechanical engineering, a BS in automotive engineering. Additionally, he holds numerous certifications, including a certified project manager, certified quality engineer, certified lean bronze professional. He's also a certified executive coach. Adil Dalal is registered training provider for lean certification classes through SME, ASQ, AME, and Shingo Prize. Mr. Dalal also holds the following positions as a volunteer leader. He's the chair of human development and leadership. He's chair for SME Austin. He's chair certification, Lean Enterprise Division ASQ, and he's also a board member of Lean Certification Committee, SME, ASQ, AME, and Shingo Alliance. And, you know, he can be reached through his website at pinnacleprocess.com or through his email directly at adil@pinnacleprocess.com or directly at his office at 512-289-7080. But today's a real treat as we don't have to go through the process of trying to reach him personally as we have him right here on our show to share his empowering insights with us. And Adil, it is such a joy, such an honor to have you on our program. Welcome.
Thank you, Phil. The honor is mine, and thank you for inviting me on. If I knew you were going to read the whole thing, I would have sent you a smaller bio.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's so good and so rich. We just couldn't miss a beat there. And, wow, what a privilege it is to have you on our program. You know, Adil, just for the sake of our listeners, would you be able to walk us through perhaps a little background as to what led you to becoming ultimately the founder of Pinnacle Process and what you're doing today?
Sure, Phil. My background is very varied. You know, I had an automotive background, then I got into a medical company for 10 years. I went through different positions and became an executive there. But to me, I was still not having that, sense of success. I always thought there was more. And there were a few things which I did in my corporation which I felt if the rest of the world can get this, how can we simplify things? How can we make things more efficient and easier for people You know, so that's how I started my business, focusing on how can I take away the waste which is happening throughout our factories, throughout our offices, and focusing on what really adds value from a customer's point of view. So that's the fundamental, you know, basis of creating Pinnacle Process Solutions. But the key element in my whole philosophy is that, you know, any factory or any organization, the only appreciating asset we have is the people. And all the products, all processes, everything which I'm doing, it's focused on how can we, you know, go into an area which is totally where people are completely appreciated, and they are the ones who are ultimately going to be responsible to make companies an absolute success. So basically what I'm trying to do is to take corporations and organizations from an age of command, control, and chaos to an age of engagement, empowerment, and enlightenment.
Wow, beautiful contrast, and what an empowering mission that is. And it, you know, what you just said really opens the door to a lot of questions, and we'll be delving into that, you know, throughout this interview in greater detail, as there's so much to uncover from what you bring to your audiences. You know, one of the reasons why we have you on this program is that you're going to be one of the keynote speakers, featured speakers, at the Napoleon Hill International Conference in Malaysia this coming March. And just out of curiosity, it's very obvious that Napoleon Hill has had a tremendous impact on your life. Can you give us a glimpse as to when you first encountered his work and the impact that he's had on your life?
I think I read about him several years ago, but it's amazing that, you know, it almost feels as if, you know, I'm living his principles every day.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's, you know, success is kind of eyes of the, you know, beholder, just as, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, success is in the heart of the seeker. And to me, when I read The Law of Success the first time, I said, this is so practical. You know, this is absolutely something anyone who can pick up this book or listen to his, you know, audio, you can really get the gist of what we can do, you know, to make that change. And one of the greatest things I like about Napoleon Hill is he talks about the change from within. So he's not talking about here's how I can change the world. He's saying, how can I change myself? And I think that is the foundation of the next step, is instead of focusing on changing the world, why don't we all start focusing on changing ourselves first?
Fantastic. It really reminds me of that great quote from Mahatma Gandhi, who said, be the change you want to see in the world, or become the change. And so it's that old adage, if it's going to be, it's up to me. You know, it starts with ourselves. True leadership.
I live that every day, Phil, so.
Yeah. And you know, out of those, the law of success, which really blends in and touches at the heart of what your expertise is I think it's principle number 4 or 5, which is personal initiative and leadership, isn't it? That's one of the laws of success that he talks about, isn't it?
You are absolutely right. That's exactly the initiative and leadership is the fourth law, and that is a, you know, fundamental paradigm shift which needs to happen on this planet. And you know, that's exactly what, you know, I think everyone who is really looking for change should read about this.
Fantastic. And talking about reading and getting into good books, you have authored this phenomenal book that has just got rave reviews called The Pillars of Project Excellence. Could you give us a little insight into that. Mm-hmm. Why would you say this is such a groundbreaking book in leadership, as so many people are alluding to?
Well, the thing is, to me, project management has been around for many years. I was certified as a project manager about 14 years ago. And to me, when I look at the statistics, of the, especially the IT project world, saying only 32% of projects are successful. And to me, I have a better chance flipping a coin and getting 50% than this.
Amazing.
So literally, I this is my gift to the field, to the project, you know, on how to really, how I learned the hard way of doing things in a more simple way. And each of these pillars are very, you know, can stand on their own, but as together can be a very powerful way to approach the projects. But the very first thing I talk about is that project management itself is a misnomer. Because project, by definition, is a unique, you know, undertaking with a definite beginning and a definite end. So if there is something unique you're approaching, how can you manage it?
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to take a tour to the top of Mount Everest, are you going to manage that or are you going to lead that? And that is the fundamental thing. So I talk in the first pillar itself, I talk about five powers of great leaders. And that's why this is a big shift, because I am talking about things which nobody else has touched upon. So to me, the leader, the power of a leader comes from the people, not the leader itself, not the position of the people. And I think leaders have forgotten about that. So when you start delegating, when you start trusting, managers depend on control, leaders depend on trust. When you start and develop that trust, you literally are transformed into a leader. Also, just one leadership style is not going to do it. You literally need to have a repertoire, and you need to know when to actually step in the front and also when to step at the back. That's the key thing. Okay, let others lead.
Wonderful. It reminds me of a good friend Jim Tunney, who also speaks on this great subject, refereed in the NFL for 31 years, Hall of Fame. He said, you build great teams by building people, you know, which is exactly what you're touching on. Yeah. And you know, this is not just pie in the sky things. You the proof is really in the pudding for you, isn't it? You've, you know, in looking at your accomplishments, you've led 300 projects to successful conclusions, which is just mind-blowing and phenomenal. And and so there's no question that you've been able to draw through that experience some really empowering principles. Fabulous. Could you walk us... you know, the show is limited, unfortunately, in time, but could you walk us a little through some of those 12 pillars? Which ones stand out for you?
The first one on leadership is obviously it all starts with the leadership, and again, it aligns very well with Dr. Hill is talking about. But within that, you know, one of the topics which I am going to be presenting in Malaysia is called the power of visualization. And that is really a very, it is taking the law of success and putting in the power of 10 and really accelerating the whole process. So to me, pillar one, you know, as a leadership is great. Pillar two would be the structure. When I go to corporations, what I find is, they want to run projects, but the entire, you know, it's like a, you know, you want to be the top athlete, but your body is not proportionate or your skeleton, you know, you don't have the right things in place, okay? And that's what I see in corporations. When they create a project structure, the skeleton is not proper. So I've created a very simple way of giving people an idea of how to create the right structure. Then I talk about a vision. Vision is not only for a corporation, but it can be for a project and also a personal vision statement. So it's, a lot of people are not doing that.
Well, Adil, I'm just so excited. I can't help but jump in here.
Yes, please, because you're
so rich with information. Talking about that personal vision statement, I'd just like to stop there because that is so powerful. How does someone begin to develop a personal vision statement for themselves?
That's an excellent – I've actually given a seven-step process to create a vision statement. But a personal vision statement, basically what I say is it has to set the altitude of where you want to be. So you want to set very soaring standards. You do not want to shortchange yourself. Okay?
Mm.
And there is a really powerful technique I have given how to go about developing this personal statement and also how to leverage that within your corporation so you can rise through the ranks very quickly.
Mm. Powerful. So, of course, those seven steps can be found in your book when somebody orders that in great detail.
What
is the difference, some may ask, between a vision statement and a mission statement?
That's a great question. To me, a mission is almost like it gives you the latitude and the longitude of where you want to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The vision sets the altitude.
Right.
How high do you want to go?
Right.
Okay. So the vision, you literally set soaring standards of excellence. That's where, you know, it sets you apart from the other leaders or other managers is how high you can dream, how high you can aim. Because I always say, you know, aim for the stars. Even if you fall short, you will land on the moon at least.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great quote. And we really are tapping into only a small fraction of our human and physical resources, aren't we?
Yes. You are absolutely right on that. Truly only a fraction.
Beautiful. Well, you know, with that whole thing, and boy, we can spend a show on each one of the pillars that you talked about, but we really can. You know, you talked about visualization. We'll go back to that because that is so fascinating. You talked about, you know, establishing that structure, the vision, before I interrupted you. But go on, Adil. This is great.
Why don't
we go
or
through some of these? I'll
just go through quickly.
Sure.
Communication. That is a leader. You know, if they have things in their mind but they cannot communicate clearly, okay,
yes,
how can they really be a leader? You know, talk about Martin Luther King when he made that speech, "I Have a Dream." That was a very short, I think it was a 17-minute speech, and it literally moved a nation.
Sure.
Okay. And I've had managers who speak for 2 years and nobody wants to listen to them.
Mm.
So how can one man, you know, very succinctly create that? And it is basically what you have to do is create that same, you have to duplicate yourself within the others. That's the only way to win. That's what great coaches do. That's what, you know, is the secret to this. So, you know, I talk about communication confuses, passion diffuses.
Mm. Right.
And the other thing which I talk about is lean thinking. Now, this is going to be very new for a lot of people, but lean thinking, the way I call it, it is nothing but the science of simplicity.
Mm.
How do you simplify things? How can I achieve my goal with the least amount of, you know, removing all the non-value-added items and focusing on what adds value from the customer's point of view?
Yeah, in the context of that pillar, lean thinking, keeping it simple, which is, as you mentioned, bringing, you know, really trimming it down to what's valuable for the customer. What have you found or uncovered as being those points of value? What is the value that the customers are looking at when you're developing your project?
Excellent question. It's a case-to-case basis. What happens is the value is an assumed value. We think we know what the customer needs. But, you know, a lot of projects are failing because truly you have not found out what the customer needs. You know, it's basically aim, fire. Basically, you get going on that, and you're really not focusing on planning stage. You're not understanding where the customer is coming from, and that is really the reason of a lot of the chaos going on in the project world right now.
Mm.
And, you know, you take that same principle to leading nations, correct? Has anyone asked the people what we need?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, what is the real need of today? What are we needing? What is the true, you know, what adds value to our lives? I've not heard anyone ask us that in many years.
Yeah. So it's staying away from presumptuous thinking. From what I understand, and asking a lot of questions and getting to the crux of what's important to the customer.
And I think it's a lot deeper, too. I think the science of simplicity is almost becomes a way of life. And if you apply that, in fact, one of the things I've created, Phil, is a new technology called iLean, just like an iPod, iLean. And that is focused on the human side of lean, and it is extremely powerful technique where you literally will go through a transformation once you go through these steps of iLean. So,
okay, now you got our curiosity going here. You can't leave us hanging just at that. What are some of those transforming elements? That sounds absolutely fascinating.
What has happened is, so I personally have gone through an entire transformation. If you knew me 5 years ago and if you know me now, I am two totally different people of person. It's a complete shift in my personality. I literally am doing, you know, 50 things literally in a day, completely varied, completely different. And, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. If you had given me two things at that time, 5 years ago, I would feel stressed out completely. So I want to create that same transformation in people. I want them to know what it feels like to be completely, you know, stress-free, completely on the top of, you know. And I'm not saying I'm on the top of the game or anything like that, but I personally have seen that shift where I feel much more happier, much more at ease, much more at peace. So that's what this is about. Is actually truly creating a human being who feels like that. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. This is so fascinating. You know, Adil, you describe some elements which are very powerful, creating a stress-free work environment and focusing on the people for corporate success. You've touched on that, you know, through your personal experience. You've learned to become less stress-free. Can you elaborate on that particular point a little bit more?
Yes, actually, that is one of my pillars. Pillar 11 is create a high-performance environment. And not many people are talking about what stress does to people. And, you know, when people are stressed, literally you are cutting off parts of the brain. The growth in the brain is completely stunned. The hormones, you know, the neurotransmitters in your brain completely stop, and that is where your brain is functioning. That's how the, you know, your daily functioning, literally you are stopping that. Your decision-making suffers, everything suffers. So corporations need to understand that instead of, you know, when you hire somebody and you put them under stress, you're literally throwing away money because the same person could be literally performing 10 times that level. So I'm giving you a formula. I've created something called a pinnacle performance zone. And how do you train to that? And there's a very famous model, Nixon's model. I'm adding on to that and saying we need to train a pinnacle performance zone. And I have a software being released which literally takes people through step by step in a workshop format and then gives them this tool to practice on a daily basis. So it's a very powerful tool which will allow, you know, individuals or, you know, corporate members to actually go through that and you know, at a self-paced way, they will literally reach the pinnacle performance zone.
Tremendous insight, you know, and it really doesn't take rocket science to come to the conclusion, observe that a stress-filled environment really clamps the, you know, the personal expression of individual, their ability to think creatively, to be productive. And here you bring a formula and a set of tools that really release that toxic environment and replace it with a stress-free environment. And fabulous insight. Are there any other pillars? Because I'd like to go back to this whole point of visualization, because you know, that's a really fun topic to talk about from, you know, at least from my perspective. But what you touched on about half of the pillars. What other pillars are there?
The other one is, tongue-in-cheek, I call it metasight. Metasight is, you know, a death of resource efficiency by meetings.
Uh-huh.
Today, you know, we literally waste a lot of money, time and money in meetings. And I've given some formulas, and I've asked them to do, when you do a project ROI, if you were to literally consider the meeting times and how much you spend, you will see that your ROI will not be as high as you think. So I'm giving some lean thinking ways of how to, you know, kind of create meetings which would literally add value to your corporation.
Fantastic.
Then fantastic. I talk about risk. You know, risk is a big topic in projects and corporations and in our own life. And in that, I created something called dynamic risk mitigation strategies, which are powerful ways of not only looking at risk from the current point of view, but having a kind of a dynamic learning environment where you're applying lessons learned not only from your own risk assessments, but from other risk assessments too. So I've created a very nice tool which people can use and implement. And when I talk about risk, I also talk about, have you looked at your opportunities? Sometimes we only focus on risk. But if you start looking at both sides of the coin, you'll be very surprised that the same tool can also help you identify some powerful opportunities which you're missing out.
Fantastic. You know, as you're speaking, I almost feel like, well, speaking of, I want to jump up and order this book right away.
Well, it's a 700-page book. We're thinking of selling it with handles, so you can also do your way.
That's great. You know, we're going to take a small commercial break here. We'll make our own commercials, but for those that are just itching to get a hold of it, where can they order the 12 Pillars of Project Excellence?
Well, my publisher is CRC Press, and also it's available on Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. So they can order
can
it directly.
Productivitypress.com would be our site. You could get this on.
Or just go to Amazon.com and put the name of the book in there. That's great. Well, you know, we have so much to talk about. Perhaps just quickly recap some of the other pillars we haven't talked about before we go back to this pillar of visualization. That is, it's like having 12 children, isn't it, Adil? It's hard to pick a favorite, isn't it?
That is exactly true. It's very difficult because, you know, it took me 2.5 years to write this, and the only reason is the first couple of drafts I had to throw away and start from scratch. So I've literally poured in all my experience into this. Each of these pillars have a case study at the end. So you'll see the mistakes I made, the and the way I learned about this pillar. So
tremendous.
And the beauty is that you also have a CD, and with each of the pillars, I have given you a self-assessment tool where you can even check out how you do on this pillar, and then you can also get an action plan on what to do to improve on each of these pillars. Plus, the assessment can be used for your corporation and for your teams too. So you have a self-assessment and an organizational assessment, and both of them also allow you to create a roadmap going forward on how to improve on these.
Fantastic. I've got the chills. So it's you've got the principles, but you can monitor the level of excellence in yourself through this assessment program if you're truly fulfilling those principles. Tremendous.
Exactly.
And really brings to mind, you know, that the great aim of education is not knowledge, but action. And I think it was Hubert Spencer who said that. And you know, what these assessments do is they really evaluate not what you've necessarily learned through theory, but what you're practicing in action, from what I understand.
Yes, and that's exactly what I talk about. You know, my summary is all about, you know, in the 12 pillars, I tell them, you know, how to do it. In the end, I motivate them to go do it. And there's that chapter itself is really powerful. I give the example of many, many great people on how they went about achieving success. So
it reminds me almost of a modern day Law of Success series. You know, those 12 pillars that you're talking about.
with a
real emphasis on.
Thank you, Phil.
with an emphasis on project completion. And what an appropriate and timely subject, because as everyone knows, this program is called the Goal Achievers Radio Program, and what you're all about is achieving your goals, you know, with efficiency and with leanness and with harmony of purpose. That's great. Adil, let's backtrack. Let's go back to this whole innovation and, you know, you're so involved with the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. How does your innovation of power visualization complement Dr. Hill's Law of Success?
I think what it does, it basically puts it on a very fast track. The thing is, our brain is such a powerful organ, which we really have not, even scientists today are baffled at how powerful this is. So when I talk about power of visualization, I am showing you with science on what to do. Okay? There is, in the book, I talk about why this thing works, why it works so great. But this is, I've not put in everything in my book on the power of visualization. That's the topic of my next book coming up. So that whole book will be focused only on that power of visualization, because today this planet can be transformed by using this power of visualization, because if you understand what it can do and what it cannot do, you will really be able to, with accurate precision, be able to get your intentions to reality. But it has to be done in a very, very systematic way. And the reason I developed this, Phil, is a story too. And I don't know if you want to listen to that story.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the thing is, I went through a personality profile, and on that, one of my top strengths was visionary. And the person who was interviewing me said, you know what, this is not a very common trait, especially in the top five. And so I went about thinking I never use software when I do my projects, and I've run literally billion-dollar projects and never had to use a big software to run it. So I'm trying to think, what is different about me running these things? And what I realize is I can literally visualize these things even before they happened. And so what I did was I backtracked. I did a lot of self-search on what are the two things which are working for me, not working for me. And based on that, I've created this whole formula, because I am very positive that every person can learn this. So I'm wanting to kind of replicate what I can do, you know, in others, in a very simple way. And the software and everything which I'm developing will technically accelerate what took me so many years to figure out. You can figure out, you know, you can literally have it packaged and ready to go.
Wow. Fantastic. You know, the whole correlation between being a visionary and leadership are really hand in hand, aren't they? It reminds me of that passage of old that says, without a vision, the people perish. You know, I guess it could be applied too, that without a vision, the project perishes. You know, but that's fantastic. And you know, you look at the great innovators. You know, as you're speaking about this whole principle of vision, again, going back to the law of success, one of the laws that Napoleon Hill talks about is imagination, isn't it? Is that
oh,
one
yes,
of them?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the imagination, the five. He's right on. He's right on imagination. You know, people talk about world peace. Can you imagine world peace?
Yeah.
Can you imagine
world
with world? You know, you cannot. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is, you know, how can you achieve it? We have not even thought about it.
Well, you know, one of the great imagineers of our world, which was so instrumental in putting Napoleon Hill's work together, was Henry Ford, right? And he said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And so would you say that visualization and the implementation of this great tool called imagination needs to be fueled with faith in order to work?
A lot of faith, yeah. And that's what I'm trying to you know, talk about what to do, what not to do. There's a lot not to do in visualization, too. You know, that's why it has to be done very carefully. But when you talk about Henry Ford, there is a great connection in that Henry Ford was the very first lean thinker. We think lean has been developed now, but literally part of it, you know, the crates which would send the parts to the factory, where the, you know, parts from the Model T was... The crates actually became the floorboards of Model T. That was his power of thinking. So he was the original lean thinker in our, you know, in the factory format. So.
And that would really touch a chord with Hugh being, you know, an expert in automotive engineering. You know, it just so happens that you studied that field as well. Interesting. And then we look at people like Walt Disney. So would you say those were quite the visionaries in their own right?
Yes. And that is exactly you. Yeah. And I talk about Disney in my book. He talks about if you can dream it, you can do it. But people don't understand what the true meaning is. He's not talking about, you know, unconscious and involuntary dreams. He's talking about conscious and voluntary visioning. And that is the major difference.
You know, on this whole point of visualization, because it's so interesting, is you talked about the things to do, the things not to do. We read and think and grow rich that thoughts are things. And it seems to point to that, you know, powering tool that we have, the ability to visualize if we're able to be directed in the right place. How does one begin to visualize? What are some of the things that they need to do to put in place in order to go through that powerful process?
Yeah, that's the thing which I've developed this whole program on how to start visualizing, but it all starts with understanding our own self. It's how we operate, what is the modus operandi of each individual, because, you know, what I believe is each of us you know, we were not mass produced. We were like a, you know, beautiful canvas, and each one of us is a beautiful painting. So if you think of us as you know, but there are common elements to it, and also understanding the brain, understanding the left versus right brain, understanding some of the, you know, ways you learn personally is very critical. So I spend a lot of time, you know, evaluating on how you are operating, because if you really, you know, you need a baseline. You need to see what works for you. So this is a more of a custom way, because for some, you know, they will, I've tried many times to have people visualize, and they literally have a very tough time visualizing, but then some of their other senses are very powerful. So it's, you know, I create a very, you know, entire, it's a whole holistic way of looking at things, but understanding yourself, you know, generating the right waves which are needed to that, that's within your brain. How do you do that? And then learning to visualize. I have a series of exercises. I take them through step by step, starting with focus and concentration, because, you know, visualization by itself will not work. You know, it needs the correct environment for it to be, you know, the most potent. And obviously after that, you know, the software I'm developing will accelerate the whole process. So you are using advanced technology to literally jumpstart this process and help you go more faster, way faster than, you know, some other people can do on a regular basis. And then it's all about, you know, keeping up to the practice and believing in yourself that you do it. So
does, you know, when someone thinks of visualization, is it a process of being still in a quiet place, closing your eyes, or is it something that can be done when you're in the busy streets of New York City and you see something that perhaps others want?
You know, now you're putting me in a spot. They'll be in the middle of the traffic and start this. This crazy, you know, guy on the radio told me to visualize in the middle of the, you know, Times Square. So, no, I'm not sure. But what I'm going to say is, yes, you can visualize wherever you are. You know, but it needs. It's like, you know, the ocean is fairly calm inside. You know, it seems like the waves are very high and everything is going crazy, but inside, the ocean is very calm. And if you can develop a similar technique of how to do that, no matter what's going around you, you can still be completely calm and still inside, then you can do it wherever you are. Otherwise, it's very challenging.
And what about frequency of visualization? Is this something that you suggest should be exercised as a discipline every day, or, you know, is it more of a spontaneous type of...
I think it depends on what you're visualizing. You know, you could, you know, literally people visualize, you know, you're very ultimate, you know, where you want to be, or you can also visualize the smaller steps. So I take people through both these things. So when you're doing the smaller steps, you absolutely daily basis, it's not a problem. But you got to be, again, there are do's and don'ts, and that's the key thing is if you... You know, if you kind of do it the wrong way, just like anything else you do, you're going to lose faith in it very quickly.
You know, it reminds me, you know, there's a saying that says practice makes perfect. But one person once corrected that it's not practice that makes perfect, it's perfect practice makes perfect.
That's exactly what I'm hinting. You try to do the wrong things and expect different results, it's not going to happen.
Right. Reinforcing bad habits or wrong processes can get you into trouble pretty deep if it's not corrected. Fantastic. You know, just to talk a little bit about, you know, this interview is part of a whole series of interviews of various presenters at the Napoleon Hill conference convention coming up in Malaysia. What's your subject going to be?
My topic Can you guess, Phil?
Well, it's either, let's see, let's visualization, the power of visualization.
Yes, sir. Would that be... You got it.
All right. So what we've done is given our listeners just a small preview, you know, of the extensive information you'll be providing them. That's mm-hmm. great. I can't believe this time has gone by so quickly. But you know, talking about the whole convention, what message can you give to someone who's considering attending the event on March, I believe, 14th and 15th in Malaysia?
Gosh, I think in this tumultuous time, what we are living in,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Use this as a ray of hope, and you know, basically change your life. There is a lot of great leaders at this conference, and which are going to share their thoughts and, you know, their life work with you. Make the best of it, and you know, soar to the highest level you can with that.
Mm. Absolutely. You know, you talked about some of the turbulent times. What's the significance, in your viewpoint, of holding such a convention in today's globally focused world?
The major significance of this conference, again, is that there is hope. You know, no matter what's going on around you, there are people who are being successful even in this, you know, tough times. What are they doing different? How are they able to do
right.
it? Can they
right.
do it, you know? The whole, see, the leader, Phil, my philosophy, this is what I've written in the book, is LEAD, L-E-A-D, to me stands for leave everything appreciated on departure.
Mm.
What that means is when I leave the show, when I move from a job or I leave this planet, I need to leave this place better than I came in.
Amen
and
to that.
Hopefully, that's what they will get out of this conference. When they leave that conference, they will be, you know, little more enlightened, little more, you know, self-actualized as they go through this process.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we really are living in a, you know, the world has shrunk so quickly, where it's really a global community, isn't it?
Yes, it
with
is.
The,
it is.
The internet and technology the way it is, and that's fantastic. What advice can you give regarding how Dr. Hill's science of success philosophy can impact the lives of others for the better? You know, of course, you talked that your philosophy is deeply inspired by Napoleon Hill's. In light of this conference, what advice can you give to people in terms of that philosophy?
Let me use one of my favorite guru, who's Dr. Deming. He's the man who literally changed Japan. And he said, it's not necessary to change. Survival is not mandatory. So let me tell the people, it is not necessary to follow Dr. Hill's philosophy. Success is not mandatory.
Yeah.
Okay. So let them make a choice. But if they make a choice to be successful, then Dr. Hill has a great philosophy for you, which will, it is basically packaged to go in his 15 laws of success. Simple.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not, I think it's Jim Cathcart on our show said even a fish can swim down, a dead fish can swim down stream.
Yeah.
But
true. I like that.
You're right. Now, you know, one of the highlights of the convention and is that Deepak Chopra will be the opening keynote speaker. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that he's suited for this convention showcasing Dr. Napoleon Hill?
I think he is one of our, you know, I'm literally looking forward to listening to The Soul of Leadership, his topic,
right?
Because I am the chair of the Human Development Leadership Division of the American Society of Quality, and I am always, you know, in search of that true leadership, the true north, and who better to lead us through this journey and dive deeper into the topic of leadership than Dr. Chopra?
Fantastic. Well, you know, it's just been a delight to have you on our program. I can't believe that practically an hour has flown by. Can you?
No, I cannot. Honestly, though, you're amazing.
It really is. It really is a testament that time flies when you're having fun, and it has been so fascinating having you on our program. Adil, just for the sake of our listeners, you've offered so much information. There's so much to tap into. Where can one find out more about your company, your services? I believe you have, of course, products. You talked about the software program. You have your amazing book that, I think everybody ought to tap into. Where can one go to learn more about your services and products?
Well, pinnacleprocess.com is the site. I don't have everything on there yet, which is coming soon. But, the book can be found on productivitypress.com or amazon.com. And if you have specific questions, my email address is adil@pinnacleprocess.com.
Fantastic. Well, Adil, it's been a lot of fun. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we get off the air here?
I'm really looking forward to this conference, and it's an honor to be a part of this elite group, so thank you.
That's terrific. Well, this has been an empowering session, a really fun time, Adil. Thank you so much for being on our program. We look forward to seeing you at the conference in Malaysia on March 14th and 15th in Malaysia, and also to follow your progress and read your wonderful book. God bless you, Adil.
Thank you very much, Phil. Same. Thank you.